Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
My friends, we need to face the hard truth of this administration. It has been to ease all the gains we've made in my administration, to erase history rather than make it, to erase fairness, equality, to erase justice itself. And that's not hyperbole, that's a fact.
It's erase, erase. Good morning and welcome to Montana Talks. This is John Jackson sitting in for Aaron Flint. Aaron will be back here on Monday, and he might be in at some point today. He's over in Kalispell, and we might have a few interviews coming in from over there because he is hard at work over there. But don't forget to call. The number is 406-294-0970, and that opening audio is from our old buddy Grandpa Joe Biden, who, if you remember, what was it, January, February, they come out and try to tell us that he's got stage 4 cancer. And how many months ago is that? 6 months ago, and he's still walking around like nothing. And you guys know how stage 4 cancer goes. You got to be rushing in for chemo, and that's all you're going to be doing for that God knows how long, is trying to take a whack at this. But he's walking around apparently all fine. You guys don't suppose that that could have been a lie just to get everybody to get off his case? Because you remember during that time is when everybody was dogpiling him about why he's the reason that they lost Trump, and he was just a doddering old fool the whole time, and everybody knew about it and what a big scandal it was. Yeah. He's back out there last night talking trash. I don't even know what appearance it was. He's got a tuxedo on. He goes walking across the stage. You got to see the video. He goes walking across the stage like Tim Conway in the Carol Burnett show. And he's doing his angry man. He'll just scream out of nowhere for no reason. And, of course, it's all black, nasty, partisan crap aimed at President Trump and aimed at all of us, and everything is going to be a race. Yes, Joe. Yes, indeed, buddy. You're the worst president probably in the history of the United States, and definitely in my lifetime. And that's exactly what President Trump and all of us are trying to do, is erase everything you did. 100%. And sad to say, it's going to take us the entirety of 4 or 8 years to try to erase what he did, particularly with the illegal alien invasion. It's going to take a very long time, but we will get there. And also, I've got some more audio for you guys coming up here in a little bit. Amazingly enough, we had last night him, that's Biden, and Kamala appearing out in public again. And both of them were true to form, acting like exactly like they always do. Kamala sounding like a word salad, empty-headed drunk on the Stephen Colbert show. We'll get to that here in a little bit. This is John Jackson sitting in for Aaron this morning. All morning I'll be here. You guys got to call in. Make sure 406-294-0970. Be back in just a minute.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today and a few showers and storms possible this afternoon. High temperature readings will range from the mid to upper 80s. For tonight, scattered shower storm chances early on. And then temperatures fall off in the mid-50s in Bozeman to about 60 in Billings. Saturday, partly sunny with a few more afternoon showers and storms with highs in the 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
The Trump administration has set an August 8th deadline for Russia to make a meaningful commitment on ending the war in Ukraine or face additional sanctions. During a Thursday appearance on Fox News Radio's The Brian Kilmeade Show, Secretary of State and Acting National Security Advisor Marco Rubio was asked a pointed question.
Do you think Russia's in a position to confront America militarily?
Well, that's not even a fathomable thing. I mean, understand the war between the United States and Russia is not something we can ever see.
Rubio explaining further.
These are the two largest nuclear weapons militaries in the world. and the danger would just be too great.
He says he doesn't worry about a planned war.
I think what you worry more about is a skirmish or a miscalculation.
The secretary says Russia's military could not match the U.S. in a conventional conflict. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, you know, the last time we caught up with Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus Ranch in Dillon, what a great conversation we had. You know, we not only talked about his great products, you know, his great steaks, the great beef jerky, the beef bacon, and more that Reminisce Angus Ranch provides. You can get them at certain grocery stores. You can find their jerky at some gas stations, like some of the town pump locations. You can also get it delivered to your house. But we also talked with Brian Massard about his efforts to help make America healthy again. He was just at the White House. He's taken part in other roundtable discussions back in Washington, D.C., because he knows that if we want to make America healthy again, beef has got to be on the table. So anyways, great catching up with him. If you want to learn more about, you know, the creative things he's doing out at Reminisce Angus Ranch, partnering with N-Soil Algae, for example, or if you want to find out how you can get his products to your place, check out remangus.com, remangus.com.
And welcome back to Montana. I taught you, I said a minute ago that we also had Kamala Harris out there on the public stage yesterday, and she wanted to go on the Stephen Colbert show. What a pair those two are, right? Two of them that got fired from their jobs here, but she was her typical self. And I said yesterday on X, I said, okay, we're going to play a drinking game, and that's every time she cackles, you got to drink. Because you know she does that just ordinarily, but then if she's going to be on Colbert's show and he'll do his corny crapola every 30 seconds that passes for a joke, and of course you know she's going to wah, 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 at that, you know, right? But Kane's got some audio for us. He got a little piece of it right here. Check this out.
I mean, there's a lot of personal stuff in the book. I mean, poor Dougie.
You're blowing the lid off of Doug? What's going on?
For example, my birthday's in October. The election's in November. You see where I'm going. And Dougie kind of dropped the ball on my big birthday.
He didn't get you anything?
Oh, you have to read the book.
All right. Oh. So tell me the page.
God.
Tell me the page. We're going to take...
Oh, God, make it stop. How many cackles was that in 30 seconds? I mean, that was at least three cackles there in 30 seconds. You can see Colbert, she's cackling, and Colbert's just not even laughing. It's like, what is she laughing at, right? Okay, we got the calls lighting up here. We got line one. We got Big Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, this is Big Jim from Mokena, Illinois. I'm no Joe Biden fan, but I like to talk about this prostate condition. Actually, last Saturday, I bought my Trump shirt that says, not my first rodeo, so I'm a Trump guy all the way. However, I'm a Vietnam veteran, exposed to massive amounts of Agent Orange. I had to have my prostate removed because of that in 2014. 2022, it started to grow to my lymph nodes, which became stage four. But I went to radiation treatment, and I'm now on watch and see. I have to get my prostate PSA checked every. But all during that process of having it removed and radiation, I was up and going. So it's it's not like chemo. The radiation in that is not like the chemo where the only thing is, the worst part about it is before you get the radiation, you have to drink a gallon of, almost literally a gallon of water to fill your bladder up, and you have to hold it until they get done with the picture so that they can clearly see where it is. So I just like to tell everybody, especially Vietnam veterans, get tested for your PSA. Get it early. Take care of it like I did. And I'm going to be 80 years old, and Ryan Sandberg, our star here in Chicago, died at 65 from prostate. And there's no reason for that to happen. So anybody out there, all men get prostate cancer check, especially if you're a Vietnam veteran. Get it. Don't wait. Get a check. That's my message out there.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim. And we let's see. We got Nancy on line two. Morning, Nancy.
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. God bless you, Jim. You're a member of the Woodstock generation, so am I. I'm telling you. And I got a World War II story to share, a quick story, a fast story. And I mentioned of Joe Biden, but so I don't know if George Blackford's coming. I usually talk to him about war stories, but George, this one's for you, too. This is for the younger generation to understand how the World War II, the aftermath, had an influence on my generation, the Woodstock generation. And we just heard that Ozzy Osbourne, whose real name was John Michael Osbourne, died July 22nd. He was, of course, the front man for the early 60s band Black Sabbath. Now, when Ozzy and his bandmates grew up, they grew up in Birmingham, England, that was practically leveled in World War II. They used to play around the ruins of World War II and all the bombings. They'd find empty shells and everything else. This had an influence on their music, like their song, War Pigs. That was about the atomic bomb and also about the aftermath of Armageddon. So that's a great example of what World War II did to my generation, how we got through it and how we tried to understand it. And Ozzy was buried Wednesday in Birmingham, England, which is his hometown. So fascinating man and fascinating heavy metal group. And as far as Joe
Nancy,
Biden...
Nancy, we got 30 seconds to the break, darling. Go ahead, we got 30 seconds.
Okay, I
got
to tell you, should I talk?
Go ahead. Okay, we're coming up to the break now. We're coming up to the break, darling. If you want to hang in, we'll be right back.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Office of Management and Budget Director Russ Vogt has a message for congressional appropriators. Quote, the appropriations process has to be less bipartisan. Vogt wants Republicans to control the process, since they are in power in the White House, the House, and the Senate. He believes this is the time to rein in spending, even without input from Democrats on Capitol Hill. Vogt said he's looking to, quote, change the paradigm of the way appropriations has worked, pointing to the continued use of stopgap spending bills. It's unclear how a partisan appropriations process actually funds the government without triggering a government shutdown. That's because you need 60 votes to avoid a shutdown. Senate Majority Leader John Thune said Vogt's assertion, quote, runs contrary to the Senate's mathematical reality. Republicans need Democratic support to avoid a shutdown when the current stopgap funding bill expires on September 30th. Quote, we plan to move bills that will have cooperation from the Democrats, said Thune. Vogt says no voter in the country cast their ballot on a bipartisan appropriations process. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here. Coming up on Friday's Montana Talks, I'm going to be set up at the Meadow Lake Golf Course in Columbia Falls. I'm going to catch up with the governor, going to catch up with other guests that are in town for the Montana Chamber of Commerce Governor's Cup event. So while I'm doing that, John Jackson, the Joker from X, he's going to be manning the fort in the studio, taking your calls and more. And I may pop in on the show from occasion as well. Montana Talks Friday, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, according to AgriPulse this morning, President Trump on Thursday laid out the full extent of his latest round of tariff increases in an executive order. But the higher duties, with the exception of Canada, won't actually kick in until August 7th. Now, the president had set the self-imposed deadline of today, August 1st, for countries to strike deals to secure lower tariff rates in exchange for trade concessions. Those that had reached agreements will see their tariffs rise in line with agreed-upon rates. The European Union, Japan, and South Korea, for example, will see tariffs increase to 15%, up from the 10% baseline applied to almost every other trading partner out there. Now, countries like Indonesia, the Philippines, Vietnam, Pakistan, Thailand, and Cambodia, all which had scored deals according to Trump and other administration officials, saw their tariff rates of 19 or 20%. Now, for economies which the U.S. has relatively small trade deficits with, the U.S. will impose a 15% tariff there. Now, China is also on its own tariff timeline, if you will. Following three rounds of meetings between top U.S. officials and their counterparts, the deadline for a return to higher tariffs remains August 12th. Stay with us while more ag news right after this.
Hello, everybody. This is Ty Thompson with Northern Livestock Video here in Billings. Just concluded our big summertime classic, historic record-breaking prices. Our next sale is the early fall preview that comes up August 18th and 19th. That consignment deadline is fast approaching Friday, August the 1st. So if you do have cattle you'd like to market, give us a call at 866-616-5035. That's the Northern Livestock Video early fall preview consignment deadline Friday, August 1st. Go to northernlivestockvideo.com.
Every year, humic loss makes it harder for crops to absorb applied nutrients. Resurge from Helena is a low dust granule that delivers humic compounds to improve nutrient uptake and plant growth. The Resurge granule's superior hardness and uniformity withstands pneumatic applications, allowing for even distribution in your fertilizer and across the acre. Energize your soil and elevate your crops. Contact your Helena representative to learn more. Always follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Well, a new chapter is on the horizon for the National Bison Association. That's because beginning today, August 1st, the office will now be based out of Rapid City, South Dakota, in a move that marks only the second relocation in 30 years and the first out of the state of Colorado. The National Bison Association's Board of Directors voted unanimously in 2024 to move the office to its new location in the NBA and Center of Excellence for Bison Studies at South Dakota State University have been working together since then to facilitate the transition. You can read more by visiting us at westerneggnetwork.com. And finally this morning, in a new survey, U.S. corn growers say they would face higher costs and reductions in crop yields if they were to lose access to key herbicides like atrazine and glyphosate. The survey comes after the Make America Healthy Again Commission released its preliminary report questioning the safety of these two popular herbicides. The survey findings reveal high stakes for the MAHA Commission's next report, a set of policy recommendations expected to be released this month. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks, where you get the muck. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back. This is John Jackson. We had Nancy on the line, and she got cut off by the break. Nancy, you still there? Nancy, you still there? Oh, I think she must be gone. Well, Nancy, if you're out there, call back in. Call back in. We were waiting on you to wrap that up for us. I think she wanted to say something about Joe Biden. Well, right now we have Niz on the line. We have Niz also with a comment on Joe Biden. Good morning, Niz.
Hi. You know, John, the appearance of that lying potato head Joe Biden and the vapid moron Kamala Harris, they're irrelevant in the world of politics today. No one cares about what they have to offer. What's concerning, or what should be concerning, is that there are still Biden hires working under the Trump administration. They're still in the swamp in very high places. They have security clearances. It's insane they haven't removed them yet. I mean, we're talking about Marxist pro-Hamas hires, Iranian assets at the Pentagon, pro-radical Islamists. These people make Joe Biden and Kamala Harris look tame, and that is going to bite the Trump administration in the butt if they remain in place. That's what the Republicans should be talking about. That's what everyone should be focusing on, are these hires that are still there.
Let's name some names, Niz. Who are they? Where are they?
Well, a lot of these people nobody would even know because they're names that are, you know, they've been in the swamp forever. Only people that are plugged in would know these people, but there is zero vetting going on. As a matter of fact, I think the only person doing any reasonable vetting is Laura Loomer.
Yeah, we've said that. We talked about that out there on Aaron Flint's show, on our podcast, on Spaces Everywhere, where we could shout it out into the heavens, that even before Trump took office, is that's what you have to do, is purge the entire administration of these people. Because it's not like we're wondering what they would do to us. We saw it in Trump's entire first term. The saboteurs were everywhere trying to do him in at every turn. And they were holdovers from the Obama administration. And I'll tell you, the big one out there right now for me is Jerome Powell. And I'm not sure why he just doesn't go ahead and write up a termination for cause on the guy so we can get somebody in there that will lower interest rates.
That's what's interesting as well. And not one reporter has even come out and asked President Trump, why haven't you fired him? I mean, that's the most obvious question, and we haven't heard that yet. So it would be on the onus of the reporters to ask him this. But as well as cleaning the swamp, I mean, these people in these departments, I mean, these are people who are, you know, rabid supporters of, you know, Zoran Mandami. I mean, that's what we're dealing with that is still in the government directly under President Trump. I mean, this is a very dangerous situation to leave these people in for another 3.5 years.
Hey, stand by, Niz. We're going to that Fox News break here at the bottom of the hour, but that is only 60 seconds, and then we will pop right back if you want to hang in there. Stand by one. We're coming out, and then I think we got a little bit to talk after that. Stand by 60 seconds. Boom. We are right back. Yeah, we were talking before the break there about the Biden holdovers still in the Trump administration. And we all know that there's always going to be those holdovers, those people that got jobs, got the permanent jobs, not the political appointments, but those permanent jobs during a previous administration, and they're going to stay there. And they're in mid to lower level areas where they're not really going to be able to affect policy. There's plenty of bosses and other people on top of them to keep them clamped down. But my question to you is which departments out there do you think are still just contaminated with these people?
Well, the DOD and the FBI, for sure, are the two most obvious ones. But, I mean, if you look at somebody like Mar Batar is a man who worked for Obama. He was in the meeting when they crafted the fake intelligence report on Russiagate. He is still serving. He is working under Adam Schiff in name only. And he has his security clearance. This is a guy who was also Joe Biden's right-hand man on all issues that were pertaining to the Palestinians. So this is somebody who can do a lot of damage, who is still getting classified intelligence, and he can, you know, do what he wants with that. But this is a very dangerous individual who has been in the swamp for far too long, and he still has his security clearance.
I'm wondering what the power of him being under a senator, I'm wondering how that would work with the Trump administration. Obviously, they should revoke it right away. That's interesting that they put him right up under Schiff, who also himself, that's another thing that I'm waiting on. Guys like Adam Schiff, mortgage fraud. Letitia James, mortgage fraud. When I see these people getting indicted, then I'm going to believe all this stuff about Russiagate, that we're actually ever going to get any of these people up under the microscope in any kind of criminal charges. Because when you have this red meat right here, Adam Schiff and Letitia James, that you can and should do right now, if you don't see that get done, I mean, that pretty much tells you everything you need to know, doesn't it?
Yes, I mean, we haven't even had a press conference from Pam Bondi. I mean, last week this bombshell about Russiagate comes out. We're getting all of this new information. And Tulsi Gabbard said, you know, this now has to go to the DOJ. Well, we haven't heard one thing from Pam Bondi about it. So that's a good indicator that either she doesn't know what to do or they're not really going to do anything just yet. And they're trying to figure out how to navigate this crisis that has just been thrust once again upon us. And it's causing a major distraction when we should be focusing on what's happening in the now.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that, you know, the bombshell and all that stuff kind of makes me laugh. Because, you know, what did we know in 2017? That Obama and all his people set Trump up. What do we know right now? Obama and his people set Trump up. I mean, so I don't see any bombshells myself here. But, hey, Niz, thank you very much for the phone call. That we are coming up to the break there, and we will be right back here in a second with more Montana Talk. Stay tuned.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back to Montana Talks. Before the break, we got talking with Niz about Russiagate a little bit. And I wanted to give you guys a recap on that because it seems like for the past 2-3 weeks, a lot of these documents are coming out because now the Trump administration is in power. They've got their own people in there, and they're starting to sift through all the documents that are in there. A lot of those things in special secret rooms and in special secret computer banks and classified this secret and that secret, and they have a secret, right? So they're just getting to them, which begs the question to you again. What were the people working for President Trump in his first term doing, and why didn't any of this stuff come out? You know, ask yourself that, because all of this stuff should have come out in 2017, and all of these people should have been called to task and charged, if possible, back then. But it didn't, and all of this stuff is coming out now. And see, what has there been, like a dozen books written on this or more? And I haven't heard a single thing yet, a single new name or a single new fact. It's like we talked about with Niz in the previous break. What did we know in 2017? Obama and all of his people fabricated this whole thing and used it to set up and damage and smear Donald Trump and basically sabotage his presidency with the Mueller special counsel and all that. What do we know now? We know the same thing. There's nothing new out there. But I'll tell you, unfortunately, guys, what is new is that the statute of limitations has run. Okay? That's just how it is. It's just how it is. It's done. It's over. And the only thing I see out there on our plate, as I've said many times, apparently John Brennan did testify in some kind of committee in 2023. Obviously, that's within the 5-year statute of limitations. James Comey testified September of 2020 in some kind of committee. Now, let's do some ciphering on that. Let's do some mathematics. That's coming up to the 5-year here next month. Okay, so if they were truly serious about, say, going after James Comey, you would be getting up a an indictment on him right now. Okay, because that is coming. The clock is ticking on that. You got 30 days and some to get that done. right? Well, lo and behold, we got Steve and Ballantyne right here on the line to talk about that very thing. Let's see what he's got to say. Good morning, Steve.
Morning. My question is, we know there's a statute of limitations, but now does that actually apply to a judge that got lied to?
I'm sorry, I don't follow your question.
You know, lying on the FISA warrants, does statute of limitations, does that apply to the lying to a judge?
The statute of limitations applies to everything. Okay, there is
even lying to a judge.
Everything. Now you have a handful of federal crimes that don't have statute of limitations. Treason, a couple of sexual offenses, a couple of other things. And the only thing that extends a statute of limitation in any way would be an ongoing conspiracy that you can prove, okay, that's a big, big point there, that you can prove that they are continuing to commit overt acts in furtherance of that conspiracy. And, yeah, it's a big bucket of cold water for everybody out here who's following all this and seeing it all over social media and Fox News and everything, but it is the truth.
You know, my question is, John, is how come when this started coming out and it got debunked, you know, we had all the Mueller, we had the Durham report and stuff like that. Why didn't FISA court judges, don't they have the ability to say, hey, what's going on here? Or why did they stay silent, you think?
It's funny you say that, Steve, because I was screaming that same thing back then. And I can tell you without a doubt, because I was a federal agent, if that had come out that I had lied on affidavits to federal judges, say here in Montana, they hear about it. Oh my God, they would have been calling my bosses, first of all, and also demanding that the U.S. Attorney's Office in here take this case up right now and demand that I be prosecuted. Oh, you bet your butt they would. So then ask yourself, why did they stay quiet? Because they were in on it. I mean, that's the only reason they would stay quiet.
Okay, well, that answers my question, John. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to all of us that they can get by with all this stuff. So, anyway, thank you.
It is. Thanks for the call, Steve. It is super frustrating. And you know what? What makes it even more frustrating is, like I said, the fact that you have even President Trump is out here. Really, really getting hard on this issue. He's even putting out graphics that all these people need to go to prison. You've got just all your news sources all over this. And for politics, I mean, it's great politics out there for everybody to, again, to understand what these criminals inside of the Obama administration did. And here is the actual paper proof of it. It's memorialized right there in black and white what they did. And it's great for people to know that. But you also can't, you can't kind of string people along and let them think that the criminal charges are coming behind this, because it's not. And see, that's another thing about the statute of limitations is people really need to be educated on that, so that you are demanding of your leaders, of your politicians, do something now. All right. Yeah, I remember you guys know Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton left government in 2012, I believe, from her perch at Secretary of State. And you guys remember the crimes she committed with her emails. Classified material. And, of course, the whole reason she had her private email system was so she could participate in this massive pay-to-play scheme where she could get all the people she was dealing with as Secretary of State to pay her off to her foundation, her and her husband Bill. You remember when she came up for, she was running for president in 2016, that was 4 years. And that's what she was sweating out back then. And, you know, of course, James Comey came in to save her there in the summer of 2016, bailed her out. But, you know, as soon as she knew that the statute had run on her, she was good to go. And that's the thing about Hillary. The statute ran out on Hillary back in 2017, man. I mean, she hasn't been subject to prosecution on this thing for, I mean, how many years is that? 8 years? She is done and over. There's never going to be a case made on her, on that woman, period. But they're still throwing, I mean, I'm seeing her name all over the place. And, you know, she's got to, you know, lock her up and she's got to go to jail and all that. You know, once again, yeah, she's a terrible, terrible person. She's a career criminal. But we're not going to get her. And maybe I come at it from the law enforcement background because, you know, I spent 30 years having to understand that 80% of the stuff that I learned out here on bad guys, I wasn't going to get them. You're not going to get them. You know that 80% of these people out here you run across, for whatever reason, proof, regulation, statute of limitations, you're not going to get them. So I just got comfortable with that, and you just move on to the next target, you know, because I can't drive myself crazy. You know, I wouldn't have made it 30 years if I was driving myself crazy with that every time about these people that I can't get. But trust me when I tell you, there's way more red meat on our plate right now. Now, and as heinous as everything that the Obama administration did, it pales in comparison to Joe Biden and his people. All of those COVID criminals, they have to get dragged out into the sunshine, named and shamed and prosecuted whenever possible. Everybody that was behind the border invasion, Mayorkas, and everybody involved with it, got to get named, shamed, and charge whenever possible. I mean, the crimes that these people committed, the billions of the hundreds of billions of dollars out there of our tax money that's funneled into their NGOs, that they are right out there spending, trying to sabotage our country and trying to sabotage President Trump and committing fraud the whole way. All of these things are just red meat is sitting right there in front of us. We got to do this stuff right now. Which is why, man, I don't want to hear about stuff that people we can't indict. I mean, get them out, like I said, get them out there, name them and shame them, put the documents out in the sunshine, but then let's move on. Let's get to the stuff we can do, because you know why? If we don't, they're going to do it again. Well, there's the music, and we will be right back here with more Montana Talks in just a few minutes.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The Durham Annex, as it has been released, it is complicated, but it's really not complicated. What we're now learning is that all of this was manufactured with the knowledge and consent of the top people inside of government, all to hurt Donald Trump and aid Hillary Clinton, first in her election and against Donald Trump in 2016, when that didn't work, then to basically set a trap and sabotage, and it ended up working, 3 years of Donald Trump's first term. And then the use of lawfare and the weaponization of the DOJ. I mean, everything that they could possibly do to destroy Trump happened. It's real.
The Sean Hannity Show, from coast to coast, later today.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. It's no secret. I have been very outspoken ever since I was able to save money. I've been a longtime buyer of precious metals like gold and silver. In fact, I've been purchasing them for many decades now, and I'm so glad that I have. But who do I choose to help safeguard my money? Here's the deal. I've been with the award-winning precious metals dealer, Gold Co., for years now. I am a customer of Gold Co., and I was frankly relieved to find a great company that I trust and that I have stuck with, and they stick with me for the long haul. They keep it simple, and they've taught me a whole lot about the value of precious metals and how they can help protect your savings. I simply want you to call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. They'll send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer, and you're not going to want to miss that one. Trust me. Anyway, call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com today.
Hey, here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today and a few showers and storms possible this afternoon. High temperature readings will range from the mid to upper 80s. For tonight's scattered shower storm chances early on. And then temperatures fall off in the mid-50s in Bozeman, about 60 in Billings. Saturday, partly sunny with a few more afternoon showers and storms with highs in the 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Man, this is a crazy story out of Bozeman, Montana, although not that crazy when you think about how crazy the left-wing politics is there. A female firefighter and medic for the city of Bozeman lost her baby during an ectopic pregnancy, and the city of Bozeman refused to grant her bereavement leave. And when she told them more about her story, they made the policy even worse. Check out that full audio on the Montana Talks podcast on Spotify or on the app.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
3 months ago, on May 1st, the legislative session ended, and we concluded this broadcast by saying, sleep well, Montana, you're safe for another 2 years. And while that may be true in the sense that the Montana legislature won't meet again until 2027, our government affairs team never folds up shop and goes home. Thomas Jefferson once said that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, and our team remains vigilant. Meeting with legislators, walking the halls of the Capitol, and testifying before interim committee hearings. For those who may not know, the legislature may formally adjourn, but they never really go away. Policy discussions never cease, and regular legislative committees are replaced by interim committees whose job is to study in depth issues that the legislature has identified as likely to come before subsequent legislative sessions. In short, although interim committees do not have the ability to make law, they are a window into the direction the legislature may take on major issues in the future. What's more is that it gives us a chance to influence those policies even before they make their legislative debut. A case in point is this week's meeting of the Interim Committee on Water Policy. The committee was tasked with implementing House Joint Resolution 44, which calls for an interim study of endocrine disrupting chemicals and their effect on water quality and ultimately on the health of Montana's population as a whole. It's not a committee we would normally appear before, but Montana Family Foundation Chief Legal Counsel Derek A. Stryker and Sharon Nason, the president of Pro-Life Montana, were both there to talk about the effect of abortion byproducts, including abortion-inducing chemicals that are now being dumped into our water systems literally by the ton. This is the direct result of the explosion in the number of do-it-yourself at-home abortions using mail-order drugs. According to recent studies, an estimated 40 tons of fetal remains and chemical byproducts of abortion have entered the U.S. water supplies. Many of these chemicals, such as mifepristone and misoprostol, are forever drugs, meaning they don't break down in the environment. Standard wastewater processing only removes 90% of organic matter, leaving microscopic fetal particles and hormone-disrupting chemicals such as mifepristone to re-enter the water supply. The fear is that the unregulated dumping of these powerful drugs into the water supply may be contributing to a whole host of side effects, such as hyperactivity, asthma, and early puberty in children, breast cancer, diabetes, and infertility in women, as well as prostate cancer, diabetes, low sperm count, and infertility in men. The problem with these forever chemicals is that they are mobile, persistent, and bioaccumulative. And while A. Stryker and Nason were there to talk specifically about abortion drugs, there are others as well, and the committee is looking into all of them. With regards to the side effects of abortion-inducing drugs, Montanans are at a particularly high risk. Nationally, 63% of all abortions are chemically induced, but in Montana, our average is over 80%. This problem is now so prevalent that it's being studied and debated by scientists and policymakers in numerous states and at the national and international levels. What was once billed as a private decision between a woman and her doctor is now affecting all of society in ways that we have yet to fully understand. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlocki reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
That was a funny line right there at the top of that update where he says, Montana, you're safe for another 2 years because the Montana legislature won't be back in session for another 2 years. I think that was a little sarcastic sideswipe there from the Montana Family Foundation at the legislature. But I will let them be the judge of that. At least I took it as a sarcastic jab right there. Well, you guys hear the music. We're going up to the top of the hour. We'll be back for a whole new hour of Montana Talks here in just a couple of minutes. Don't miss it.
A message from FireSafe Montana. A process called wildfire scoring may be used to determine the insurability of your property. Your home may be insurable today, but it might not be in the future. If building a new home, check with your insurance agent to determine if they will insure it, how that score was determined, and what the cost will be. And remember, wildfires can happen inside the city limits. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.